Don Levitard.
People have told me before, when I was younger, that I looked like George Clooney. I'm serious. When I was younger.
Stugatz.
You have a booger in your right nostril.
So does Clooney.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Levitard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Today on ESPN Daily, the Washington football team delivered a shocking upset to the Steelers. John Keim tells us why hope is building for the rest of their season. That's ESPN Daily. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
Guillermo, put it on the poll, please, at Levitard Show. Do you know for sure that Jared Goff is better than Carson Wentz? Just do you know for sure? Because Jared Goff seems to be in the same family of stuff that afflicts Wentz, and one of them plays for sausage finger Doug Peterson, who's a champion, and the other one plays for a scheme I trust more, even though it was dismantled by Belichick in a Super Bowl 13-3. I've got some things I want to get to, but nothing stops Christine Lisi.
And finally, Michelle Pfeiffer revealed she still has the whip that was part of her Catwoman costume in Batman Returns in her closet. How about that?
How about that?
All right. We're allowed a baby in 2020 on that.
Also, can I say one thing? Twitter let me know that I did say Mount Everest yesterday, and Dan, you said I said Mount Rushmore. They wanted me to let you know.
Oh, wow. That's a reverse fine.
That was passive aggressive. Passive aggressive, or maybe aggressive aggressive from Christine. Hey, can I tell you this one thing that Twitter would like you to know?
Well, no, I thought I said it wrong. I didn't know. Like you said I said it wrong, so I just believed you.
Oh, well, that should show you. That should show you not to believe me. I'm sorry that I put you in a position where it seemed like you were wrong, and instead I'm wrong. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Not a great feeling, right? I mean,
that is not the greatest of feelings, but it has been a profitable one for you, so
Barry,
I would stop complaining.
Keep doing it.
I heard during the break, thank you, Christine, I heard during the break the commercial for the morning show here at ESPN Radio. I don't know which order the initials are in, so forgive my ignorance on this. It's not intentional, and it's not intended to
K's
be
definitely first.
Disrespectful.
Yeah. That was negotiated, yeah. KJZ.
Was it? How do you know it was negotiated?
He was on my podcast, and he was like, you're damn right my name's first.
Okay, so I'm sorry for not knowing that, Keyshawn. Sorry for not knowing that, ESPN. That is probably something that I should know. But I heard during the break, I heard the word in promoting that show, unfiltered. And I thought to myself, is it? So, is it unfiltered? Because Stugatz had a conversation with Keyshawn Johnson on stupidity. I don't know if the portion of the conversation aired or not, but I know that you were talking about Keyshawn thinking that he could be, as a player, a game changer in terms of how this stuff is done. And you, as a radio veteran, were telling him, hey, these things don't just happen because you think your name goes first on the marquee.
Well, first let me say that Keyshawn had done radio before this in the morning. So Keyshawn had earned this position as the national morning host on ESPN Radio. And I happen to think Keyshawn is very, very good at this and can be even better than he already is at this. But he was telling me, because they were doing some trial shows leading up to the first live show they were going to do, the show's going to be different, going to be different, going to sound different, going to be different. And I was trying to explain to him, hey, that sounds great in theory, and I hope you're able to pull it off. But I am telling you, the way we format these shows, particularly that show in the morning, it's going to drag you where it wants to drag you. And all of a sudden, you'll be doing A to Z, you know? And lo and behold, they're doing segments like A to Z or Keys Observations or Keys to the Games. And that's what they're, or they're taking phone calls. And that's what they're doing because the format.
What happened? This was a conversation on. Da 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 da. It was a conversation on stupidity. It's already aired. It was da 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 da. It was Keyshawn Johnson. What is in that box? It's been a while. There's nothing in the box, is there? There's nothing. There's a battery. No one has filled the box.
That's it.
So the Magic Creative content is out of magic. It has reached its expiration date. That's it. It doesn't work anymore. It does not come with us to the next venture. Wait a minute. What is in the Magic Creative content? There's just dust, cobwebs, a couple of batteries, and what is that? Is that a flashlight? What are you holding in your hand right now? What kind of light is that?
It's a light that requires three AA batteries.
Do you have
unfortunately,
three?
No, there's two.
So, you only have two AA batteries.
A really cool effect that when you would open the Magic Creative content, there would be a glow.
Like Pulp Fiction?
Like Marcellus's soul.
Yeah, so there's nothing in there.
But there are just two batteries, not enough batteries, in other words, for the three battery light that doesn't seem to work and has been taken apart.
Quite frankly, I'm more concerned by the lack of questions.
There are no questions in there you know what else is in there? The Rona. That's what's in there. Nobody's been cleaning that thing. It's a magic creative death. The lights have gone out. It is darkness in more ways than one. Your death is imminent because the Rona is in there. That has not been sanctioned and cleaned up and gone through any of the protocols.
Coronavirus can live on surfaces, I think, for like 2 days. So I think you're good considering the last time that was touched.
Chris, I'm with you. You put something in the chat here. Keys to the Game is a great segment name.
Oh, that's it's my favorite segment.
That's absolutely a great segment name.
Yeah.
Something else you put in the chat yesterday, Chris, that we never got to is this guy named Forrest Lamp, who's an offensive lineman for the Chargers. It made Chris so happy. I thought this was because it's offensive lineman related, but it's not because it's offensive lineman related. Do you know the story of Forrest Lamp that I'm about to go to that Chris put in the chat yesterday?
No, but you're acting like Chris played offensive line or something.
Well, I think Chris likes offensive linemen just because of his size and shape. Am I wrong about that? Why was the Forrest?
I love them, Dan. I love all fat people. It's a thing. I'm obsessed with all fat people, not only in football, just in life.
What is the Forrest Lamp story that you wanted to accentuate on the show?
Well, Forrest Lamp is an offensive lineman that I didn't know exists, but you thought to yourself, if he was going to promote a company or an item, what could Forrest Lamp promote? And I'll tell you what he's promoting, Dan. He's promoting a lamp company. It's Lamps Plus, and it's a $200 floor lamp. It's a little overpriced, if you ask me. But, Forrest Lamp, you had to think. He didn't think he was getting any. That's a good agent he's got right there. Forrest Lamp, I applaud your agent.
Forrest Lamp did not think he would be getting much in the way of endorsements, but is it an actual outdoor lamp? Is it a lamp that can be used in the forest, or is it just a lamp that is not forest-specific? It's just a lamp venture.
It's an indoor lamp, but it kind of look like the base of it is like wood. I'm showing it to the Zoom camera right now. He's kind of got a stance like,
he's
hey, I'm an offensive lineman and you might find this lamp in the forest because it's made of wood.
Yes.
It's a cool lamp. I would buy this lamp.
If it weren't $200.
Right. Dan, can you buy it for me?
Overpriced, according to you.
You want to do more for you?
Who are some people in coming sports?
Let's go. My private jet isn't going to fuel itself.
Well played, Michael.
Do you guys want to do this? Do you guys want to take calls on athletes in sports who could have an endorsement better than Forrest Lamp's Forrest Lamp?
Jack Helicopter.
That's a good one.
I made that person up.
You don't say. Real person, you don't say, Billy. You got in aggressively with Jack Helicopter.
I mean, now you guys want to play my Blades Brothers Landscaping Company game? I mean.
Steve Fork.
So, no, I don't want to play
that
game.
Yeah, neither do I.
Don Levitard.
Did you guys see Gilbert Arenas' assessment of Zion Williamson?
Agent Zero.
Stugatz.
Did you answer my question there or no?
No.
Okay, very good.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, small business protection for more than vehicles with insurance expertise to keep your company moving forward. More at progressivecommercial.com. We'll get to conversational in just a second. It's time for Straight Talk. It is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Conversational.
Billy has a COVID point that he would like the audience to absorb, because COVID is a convenient thing that has arrived to only exist between Tuesday and Saturday. All of a sudden, it's not available to us on Sundays. I know Anthony's got some thoughts on this as well, because it is a little curious, the idea, Stugatz, that anybody in our audience would trust that these football protocols, as you know, everyone is rushing toward the paying of the bills and the dollars, and you've got, you know, Monday games at 5 o'clock and Tuesday games and Wednesday games. There's a lot of reason to mistrust, right? The idea that these protocols, that everything would be on the up and up when so much is unknown. But what's not unknown is that everybody is trying to get those dollars.
I know we've learned more about the virus, but I couldn't help but think when Dez Bryant, or the news broke that he got yanked off the field because he had a positive test, I couldn't help but think back to like 9 months when Rudy Gobert got pulled off the court, our lives changed forever.
Right.
But Dez Bryant test positive and kickoff in 10.
But why? Because I was thinking the same thing. This happened in the NBA. It really felt like, for many, the start of the pandemic. They pulled every team off. Dez Bryant gets it 9 months later. Play ball. And he was hugging guys before the game was on the field. I mean,
you say why, though, you can answer your own question, right? I don't believe there are a lot of other answers other than everyone in business right now is trying to put bandages on bleeding. We were talking during the local hour today on what just happened to Under Armour, because if you've been paying attention to the numbers, because there are a lot of people caving right now in this economy, and Under Armour was very serious and plentiful with its dollar usage when it came to giving out this $280 million deal to UCLA. They've still got $58 million cash left on a terminated deal with California. They've got a $10 million buyout with Cincinnati that has them owing also $7 million in product. Under Armour has collapsed. Under Armour, which was trying to get in the Nike game, has now, on pennies on the dollar here, Stugatz, all of these teams are now going to Nike because Under Armour had a good idea. Under Armour had the funds to fund a good idea, and Under Armour has simply collapsed in terms of getting into that game because they weren't making stuff, basically, that's cool enough. Nike's greatest gift throughout all of this, Stugatz, throughout the entire sneaker game and the Nike story, I've been wanting for years to talk to Phil Knight. I understand that you can't get close to that kind of power, but I would love to understand the intricacies of that business and how much marketing has helped that business stay cool over decades using Michael Jordan in a game-changing way. Under Armour tried with Steph Curry. You simply can't do better, Stugatz. Not LeBron James, not anybody.
You really can't.
Then
I know where
Steph
you're
Curry and all the things that you want to push product represented in sports. Never mind anywhere in basketball, like over LeBron, anyone else. If you're trying to give off, and I don't think of Steph Curry as cool, but I do think of him as awfully, awfully wholesome and wonderful to sell, whether it's putt-putt golf on ABC or family anywhere else.
He's relatable, Dan. He comes off as relatable.
And
he really does.
His game was super cool.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Pulling up from half court.
But his shoes weren't. His shoes were not.
No. And that was their biggest mistake.
No.
Ultimately, you're as good as the first shoe. That you get one shot at a first impression. And it was laughed at. It was memed. And then since then, hasn't gotten any better. Meanwhile, all the other shoe manufacturers are coming on with great designers. And you have never once sought out an Under Armour shoe.
As great as Steph is, though, it's Michael Jordan was once in a lifetime, because to be able to build a shoe and give the appearance, hey, you could fly, wear these shoes, Steph Curry, it's put these on, step back and hit a three.
But with Michael Jordan, he was cool, but the effect of him being a special persona to sell your stuff was born from the model of Tom Brady and Derek Jeter. Don't say anything about anything. Allow people to fill in the mythology and the storytelling around your excellence. With Steph Curry, the story is unbelievable. Like, his parents are in the game. They're at the games watching him. His father's a former NBA player. He is pulsating in a way that Michael Jordan did not. Family to everyone, happy at home, happily married, just giving off the purest of possible images. Carded at the movie theater on his way to being one of the best players in the history of the sport and one of the best, not one of, the best shooter in the history of the sport. And he is all the things anybody in a corporation would want from an athlete selling stuff. But not cool. Not, I don't think Steph Curry gets to be cool.
The funny thing is, when Under Armour really came out, it was the cool brand. They made their name and they made all this money and all this notoriety around them because they were cool, because Nike and Adidas and all these different things were doing stuff that was stagnant. Under Armour came out with different colorways, with different concepts, and now they're being laughed at.
He's not cool now because the shoe kind of flopped, because the shoes were uncool. Because if you bought Steph Curry shoes, you yourself were making yourself uncool. That's where he stopped being cool, because he's cool. He's super enjoyable to watch. The thing with the mouthpiece when he buries a three in your face, that is cool. That's what kids want. He's like, for millennials, right? Attitudes have changed. He relates to this generation of kids that all they want to do is shoot threes, the way that a tatted up Allen Iverson related to my generation. He's perfect, but the shoes flopped.
The shoes made them uncool? Made Under Armour uncool? That's
amazing.
You want
to wear shoes that gets you laughed at?
Yeah.
And the funny things with the AI, he brought Reebok up from nowhere. Have you seen Reebok after that? Nobody's done anything with Reebok. I think they had something with the UFC, but that was it.
Dan Le Batard.
Get the hell off the stage, woman!
Stugatz.
Texter writes, in advice for you, Levitard, when you interview people, give Stu a coloring book and send him to a different room until you are done.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
All guests on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Don't miss two big fights this Saturday, UFC 256, when Deiveson Figueiredo puts his belt back on the line and Tony Ferguson returns to the octagon. UFC 256 is exclusively available to ESPN Plus subscribers for $64.99. Visit ESPNplus.com/PPV for more details.
Mike, what were you saying about Rudy Gobert?
Well, we were talking about it and how the Dez Bryant thing is just so polar opposite of what it was when Rudy Gobert happened. And I think for like my generation, I'm not comparison shopping on tragedies, but every generation has like a few mile markers in it where it's like, this changes life forever. For me growing up, it was a second plane around the towers. And Rudy Gobert, I know it's sports centric and it may sound ridiculous to people, but that was a moment where I'm like, oh no, this is washed up upon our shores. Life is different now forever.
But Dez Bryant gets it in football, baby. Football. Keep it moving ahead.
That lasted 9 months, Mike. Yeah.
Well, also, like, if you would have told me in that moment, this is going to last 9 months, I would have been like, what? Wait, what? We don't have it in control by then? But if you were also going to tell me, and in 9 months, a player is going to test positive and we're going to kick off 10 minutes after, I'm going to be just as confused.
We have to get to Billy's thoughts on dog Twitter. I don't know what those thoughts are. I don't know what dog Twitter is, but we will get
to
those.
It's amazing.
Okay, we'll get to you in a second. Hold on. Nothing takes precedent over Christine Lisi.
And finally, watermelons are about 91% water. Ironically, so is Dan's rather large face.
Whoa!
Wow.
Thank you for the rather there. I appreciate the rather there. That's nice of you, Christine. Billy, what is dog Twitter? I just know that a whole lot of the people who have the largest problems with me generally have photographs that they're taking with dogs in their avatar.
Because dogs are delightful. Dogs are the best. You guys don't follow dog accounts and just dog Twitters and dog Instagrams and just look at pictures of dogs doing things. It's the nicest thing in the world. It's so innocent. You just see a dog and you're like, wow, what a great pup that is. Wow, my day's not that bad. Look at this pup. I'm so happy now. You don't follow dog accounts, none of you. It's the best thing. The problem is that everybody thinks that their dog is worthy of an Instagram or a Twitter account. And, you know, all dogs are great, but every dog can't have 40,000, 60,000 followers, you know?
Every dog has his day.
Billy, why do you imagine that Tony is shaking his head sadly? What's the matter, Tony? Are you judging Billy for his
No,
you guys have interesting tensions between you.
We do, and obviously it's been long noted that I have an anti-dog birthday situation going on, okay? So this is also
long noted.
Yes, a year ago I said I'm against dog birthdays, and it's been a year, so it's actually been rather long. But this all stems from the same place. Why is it that the owner thinks that they have the dog that should be on social media, then they pretend like they're talking like the dog, woof, woof, like, get out of here.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that escalated quickly into get out of here.
He needs more dogs in his life, Dan. I'm telling you that right now. I am saw some good boys.
I am totally with Billy on this. I follow a couple of puppy accounts. Now, my kids, they want us to get a new dog, even though we currently have a dog, Finny, but that dog is getting older. But there are few things that will put a smile on your face, no matter what kind of mood you're in, no matter what's going on in the world, than a beautiful golden retriever puppy. It will make you smile every single time.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Will a golden retriever puppy make a smile on your face every single time?
I have friends on Twitter that I've never met in real life that I just exchange dog pictures and dog accounts with. Shout out to Lolo. I'll send Lolo some pictures of dog accounts and I'll tell her of dog hashtags that I think she'll find interesting. It's the best.
My wife is obsessed with this one dog Instagram account. It's this dog. It's like, I think the dog has like two legs and is blind, and it's still like a really happy dog. And it's like adorable, but like that's the, like, there's a wide spectrum here. It's not just like, you know, your stereotypical dogs, so all it, types of
all right,
dogs.
Well, help me. Thank you, Chris, for doing that. But in Billy and Tony's measurements of this kind of thing, is the two-legged blind dog worthy of an account? Because you guys say not all dogs are. So is this dog torso something, Tony, that you find something
Tony.
That deserves an Instagram account? I'm sorry to put you in this position.
Terrible spot, Tony. Man.
Actually, the funny thing is that dogs that have special cases should be elevated to a different pedestal. Not every normal run-of-the-mill dog should have an Instagram, but this dog should. It's a very happy story.
A very happy dog torso that must
maybe
be
a GoFundMe. I don't know about an Instagram account. I'm glad the dog's getting through a rough patch. No pun intended. But
I feel like you did intend that pun. I feel like that was I feel like you did no pun intended while purposely.
He had intentions there. Definitely.
Yes,
you guys
sure.
are barking up the wrong tree with that one.
Oh, Jesus.
The dog day afternoon.
What? You're just looking for anything with dog in it? Like at least barking up the wrong tree.
Who let the dogs out?
All right, that we'll keep rough. Going. Well, all right.
I feel like he's being hounded.
Go ahead. Have at it. Stugatz will get in here with his clunky dog day afternoons that don't make sense.
Dan, you're getting mad here. Your bark is worse than your bite, though.
Got to risk it to get the dog biscuit.
This segment is rough.
Oh, we already
okay,
did
we're
that
do
one.
Three roughs now.
Woof.
Oh, man.
Okay. Saved it.
So you're all in on the dog accounts, Billy. You are someone who believes that everyone listening to this needs to start following as much as they can, as many dogs as they possibly can, because there are so many good boys out there, one of whom is not the dog I am presently fostering, who won't stop chewing on things. My remote control, I don't have any access to one of my televisions now. Because...
Ooh, that happened to me too. What'd you do? I had to look up the model of my TV and then go and order a special remote. It had to come in the mail.
Why
and then
he
get through
about
that
this?
One too.
Same thing.
It's a shared experience.
But why are you happy? I was frustrated like Dan.
I have no access to the television in my living room now. I can't even do my job in my living room of watching sports because this pit mix ends up chewing up everything, really. I can't stop. I inherited him, fostered him, because there's a terrible situation in Miami where dogs are just end up getting released in an area where people don't want to care for them anymore in the Redlands. And so there are a bunch of dogs just running around out there. And so this one is a particularly friendly and warm one that Valerie decided to rescue, but he won't stop destroying things in my home. And I've come home a few times now where the trainer is working with him. The trainer has total control over this animal. This animal would never eat the trainer's remote control. But anytime I turn my back, something else that I need is torn apart by this animal.
So in the Redlands, there's just like this dog. It's not really a sanctuary. It's quite the opposite.
No, it's the opposite. It's the worst.
It's like it's Isle of Dogs.
Well, I think a lot of people listening to this, if you don't care for dogs, don't think about dogs, you're not going to understand the attachment to dogs. One of the greatest stories I've ever told on this radio show, heartbreaking and funny, is my dog dying in my arms. And I haven't been able, my last 18 months with this animal in a diaper, trying, not in any pain, but not wanting to choose to end his life, changed for 18 months my life in a way where I had a much smaller life taking care of this animal. And furthermore, I still wake up at night because for 18 months I had to get up. He would get stuck in places in corners because his hips weren't working well. I still hear that sound in my sleep sometimes, and like just sort of because for 18 months I had to keep getting, it's why my sleep's all screwed up. I had to keep getting up to try and get my dog to not be stuck someplace in the house. The attachment that you form to these animals is such that that loss was such that I until recently could not bear the idea of having another dog and loving another animal that way.
You should let sleeping dogs lie.
This show ain't free. Time for some ads.
Sorry. Are you?
I am.
You're not sorry.
No, but I am.
You're not sorry. There's not in any way that you're sorry. You're never sorry for this stuff. You're always jazz hands. Where can I get my applause and my laughter?
I feel sick to my stomach. Sick as a dog. Sorry. Can't teach an old dog new tricks, Dana. Sorry. Want from me.
Don Lebatard.
You know thunder always comes before the lightning, right? There is no lightning without thunder. Thunder comes first.
Stugatz.
That's incorrect, Stugatz.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Lightning comes first, and then there's a sound.
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Dan, take it away.
Thank you, Stugatz. You said that with a showman's flair for
very
some
abrupt
reason. Take it away?
The billboard was very abrupt. I mean, usually the more than that. But it was just ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Take it away, okay. One of the things, I think we should get back to phrases we used in the 70s in entertainment. Take it away needs a good rejuvenation. So let's see if you can get that off the ground.
Okay.
I've been telling you about what a golden age for content it is, which is sort of weird because these last 10 months have shaken every industry. If I showed you, Scott, some of the photographs that I have seen of people trying to make it right now in the content game with all of the restrictions in terms of masks on top of masks on top of masks so that you don't get an outbreak, so that you can make your movie or you can make your television show or you could just keep making things because the content business doesn't stop for anybody. You've seen in sports the way sports has thundered along no matter the calamities, no matter how many games get canceled, no matter how weird all of this is because everyone's got bills to pay. So it is interesting to see that we are presently, even though it's stalled at this minute and has been for about 10 months and will be until there is a vaccine, to see the content game flourish in a way that is stupefying. Where streaming services and Amazon and everywhere, you've got Amazon basically pouring some of that incredible money that Bezos is making every day that he's not paying taxes on because he's pouring so much of his money back into the businesses. So he creates a studio just because he can. He buys the Washington Post just because he can. He can keep doing these things because he's got very good advice, and he's got more money than anyone in the history of the world will have by the time he is done with this. because he's conquering commerce. He's conquering sales. He can have a content project on the side that is just a plaything that doesn't matter. It's got Julia Roberts in it. It's got an original, you know, just original programming that has to be crazy expensive.
Yeah, there's all kinds of good programming there. That's crazy expensive. I have no idea whether or not he's profiting off of it or not.
It doesn't even matter, really, honestly, because he's profiting so much in this game of he has brought them all to you. America and the world changed very quickly in terms of what commerce was, and now forced everyone inside. He was hiring like 1,400 workers a day. I have seen parking lots filled with those Amazon vans where it feels almost like 1980s Russia, where you're like, how is that even possible that all of those vans are in one place, all of them the same color, all of them just delivering to you and to your wife and to your kids? The mall to them experience, because I can't imagine that anyone has done better financially during this than that guy every single day, his wealth growing. And so he's got this thing on the side that is just making him a bunch of money in terms of content. But I see all over the place where I find these riveting pieces of work because there are so many options available to you right now. And one of the things that I wanted to tell you about, because Showtime has always been a poor man's HBO. Showtime is never able to have the quality that HBO has. And when it comes to the sports documentary, I was telling you this yesterday, Showtime isn't any good at it. I don't think they've produced a one that makes me want to watch. They've got Hector Camacho coming out now, and I don't know if it's any good or not. I can't imagine that would be bad, given the subject matter.
What's the show they've created that has resonated the most? Well, is it Billions?
Well, let's talk about this for a second. Because
probably Dexter?
I think what I'm watching right now on Showtime, a handful of things that I have been watching. I told you that Belushi documentary is exceptional. It's artfully done. A documentary on the Comedy Store was super. It was just a really strong thing over, I think, 4 or 5 parts to see. The Reagans documentary on Showtime has been really good. And if you're interested even a little bit in politics and everything that's been happening in America just this year, this will amaze you in terms of how much of it was foretold by an actor 40 years ago who was in a presidency doing big business on behalf of the Bezos of the time. You'll find it riveting because it's also very well done. But I have found myself like super disappointed that Showtime can make these things that are indisputably great. And then when they get into sports, what ends up happening, I think, is they get in bed with the subject. It's the only way to get the access because the athlete doesn't really need any of this stuff anymore. And what happens is a diluted, distorted form. I saw it with Chris Carton in that HBO documentary. I'm like, Craig Carton. I'm like, why is this so bad? Why is it so weak? Why is it so flimsy? This story is interesting. How is it that HBO, that makes these great documentaries, can't get close? And it's because it was too close to the subject. Too close. It made a deal in exchange for the access, and the compromise was the quality of the product.
Interesting. So too close to Carton is what you're saying, right? Because I still haven't watched it because so many people have told me it's not interesting, even though I thought when I saw the preview for it.
How could it not be?
Yes.
But but it's fascinating to me because the access doesn't actually get you closer. The access just dilutes the product, and the athletes don't need us anymore to make this stuff.
Too close to Carton sounds like an amazing espionage movie.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Does Too Close to Carton sound like an amazing espionage movie?
Hope you enjoyed it.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.